This was a new role. He soon presided over a small kingdom, promptly proclaimed that he was a living god, and created a new religious cult of Inti, a celestial divine ancestor associated with the sun. In other words, here is a divine ruler. I have an imperial vision. I have a divinely sanctioned job, conquest. And then, around 1438, a brilliant warrior, Cusi Inca Yupanqui, became the Inca ruler. With great arrogance and assurance, he assumed the name Pachacuti, he who remakes the world, and set about reforming and transforming the Inca domain into a state. He did a number of things which were to have a lasting impact and to create fatal weaknesses in Inca civilization. He began by fostering a new cult of the royal mummies. This seems bizarre to us, but actually the logic behind it was to reinforce continuity. At his death, a ruler was mummified. But at his death, he continued to live in his palace in his mummified form and to own all his possessions. His devoted followers would talk with him, eat with him, and the deceased mummy attended all the great ceremonies of state. This symbolism was of vital importance. Why? It ensured the continuity of Inca life. And not only that, but more important even, it reinforced the relationship between the royal ancestors, the living leader, and Inti, the sun god. Perhaps even more pervasive than this was another custom introduced by Pachacuti, but probably also used at Chimo. And that was the institution of split inheritance. Under this custom, the dead Inca, the dead ruler, retained all his possessions and all his land. All that the new ruler who succeeded him acquired was prestige, the title of Inca, or supreme Inca, and little else. This meant that he had to acquire his own wealth, his own land, to live in royal splendor and ultimately to support his mummy. Now, since all the land around Cusco was owned by the early rulers, each new supreme Inca had to acquire royal estates by the only way available, by aggressive conquest. So ruler after ruler expanded the Inca domains. Fortunately for the Inca, these were a series of extremely able rulers. For example, by 1493, the Inca Topa Yupanqui had extended the empire into Ecuador, Bolivia, and Chile. His armies also conquered Chimo, whose water supplies were already under Inca control. By the time of the Spanish Entrada, Inca domains extended far into Ecuador in the north and were beginning to expand into the rainforests on the eastern side of the Andes. Here, however, Inca armies were hampered because they were not used to fighting in heavily vegetated terrain. Here was Tawantinsuyu, the land of the four quarters, a vast empire. Fortunately for the Inca, their rulers were far more than conquerors.